Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us, as he does every Wednesday at this time, the mayor of the city of Pensacola, D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back, sir.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrew.
Hey, great to have you. Let's start with American Magic because, you know, the headline seemed a little bit ominous. American Magic is protesting the America's Cup. And, you know, first, I think, reaction, and you saw this from people online, was, you know, oh, God, the mayor spent all this money and brought American Magic here, and now they're not even a team anymore, you know, some variation on that. So let's instead deal with what actually happened. We'll start with it. What actually happened, and does it mean anything for us?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the ability to clarify to your point. Number one, you know, we have these things called contracts. So I promise there will be no investment by the state or by Triumph or by anyone else that could just be flipped on a switch and then not all of a sudden be viable. So that's first and foremost. What I want to say is there will be no impact to operations, to the obligations of American Magic, to Warehouse 10, which is full steam ahead right now. Every time I go in, they're making awesome progress in there. So all of that is completely unaffected by this, what I would really consider a negotiation. And if you follow it, the America's Cup team, American Magic, is not the only America's Cup team that is putting out the same statement. I think there's some kind of show of solidarity by the challengers that feel like some things are one-sided and that this is just part of that process. So I'm in constant communication with them every single day almost. They notified me of this before it was going to come out, that just to say, hey, heads up, this is kind of where we are. So I'm going to have patience and we're going to let it play out. If for some reason the America's Cup can't figure it out, then this team is, and this organization is committed to sailing at the highest level of international sailing possible. And there are many options for that that are outside of the America's Cup. So everything's full steam ahead. We certainly want them to get that all worked out, but it has no impact on the project.
All right. So what I hear you saying is that even if this issue with the America's Cup as an organization or as an event doesn't work out with our particular team, America's Magic, there are all kinds of other availabilities to sail at a high level. And even maybe somebody creates a whole new alternative system as well, which that all makes perfect sense to me. Oh, by the way, I have a suggestion.
Yeah.
Maybe full steam ahead isn't the right metaphor for a sailing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah,
but
wind ahead. I guess.
Yeah, strong winds ahead. Fair winds and following seas.
Yeah.
I think it's good to step back because I think the top line, but like what the average person is thinking is, well, that's all American Magic is here to do is be the headquarters for this big race that they do, and maybe they don't realize all of the different dimensions that this deal brings to Pensacola, to the port, with connections to UWF. Can you just maybe, I don't know, lay out the grand structure aside from the racing. What is the American Magic deal really all about?
Yeah, well, I'll start with, when I talk about American Magic right now at a Rotary Club or a function, the thing I say is I expect that in the next 3 years, we're going to be talking about this amazing manufacturing cluster that happens to sail just as much as we're talking about a sailing team that happens to manufacture. As we are on this phone call today, there are space companies working with American Magic to make composite parts right now in a temporary warehouse while we're waiting on Warehouse 10. They're building boats right now to the best of their ability in temporary setup. So that's why we have the 170 or 125 job count obligated to them is a non-issue. And that's why, yes, there are so many different parts to this. And I think that we're just scratching the surface of what the totality of their impact could be, because when they were given these grant funds and when we had this agreement, there were no promises made about all of this intense manufacturing across all these different fronts. And that has become so big for them, they can't even keep up with demand right now, and that's why they need to hurry up and really get in this space. So Pensacola State, they've already hired 3 Pensacola State students, I think 2 or 3 already. UWF, like you said, already has an engineering partnership. So remember, this is the Center for Maritime Excellence. This is not just a hangar to put an America's Cup boat, right? That's one part of the big ecosystem that American Magic brings, and that's why we're so excited to have them.
And it's jobs, it's education, it's pipeline for shipbuilding and shipbuilding technology, which we just had a guy from the, kind of affiliated with the Trump administration that's looking to renovate, maritime shipbuilding, yep, come to, speak about this at the Yacht Club last week, and it was a great event for Maritime Day. Like, this is a much bigger issue, a much bigger puzzle slash opportunity than merely American Magic sailing in this one big high profile race. And that's why I wanted to make sure people were aware of that. Cause as many times as you've told that story and as many times as we've tried to tell it, and maybe PNJ and WAR have as well, it still may not quite percolate to people because what they see is, oh, fast boat on the water, and that's all exactly they really think about. And that's why I wanted to spend a minute on it. It was late on Thursday after a long conversation about CISA and the Rafferty Center, and frankly, I'm going to cover that a lot in depth tomorrow. I found it kind of a baffling conversation, frankly, because I'm with you. It seemed to make good sense. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, but okay. But at the end of all of that, very low-profile item towards the end about annexing some property into the city, and it has to do with the O'Reilly's Bar and some of the controversy surrounding that lately. Can you explain? Because I thought this was a very interesting little story about how to solve a problem. What happened here?
Yeah, so this has been an issue for both the sheriff's department and the police department for years, that if there was an incident at O'Reilly's on Creighton Road, that the building itself and one part of the parking lot was in the city and another part of the parking lot was in the county. And so quite literally, as simple as it sounds, if something happens, if there's an incident in the parking lot, who shows up? And that would cause delay and confusion and, who has jurisdiction and all of those types of things. And so, of course, our sheriff partners and our sheriff's department partners and our police department, work well together and figure it out. But it's just it caused a lot of efficiency issues and lack of clarity. So I called the owner and said, hey, would you mind annexing your other parking lot into the city? That's better for you as the owner. Remember, this is speaking former bar and restaurant owner,
right?
To another, to say, hey, because you might have a bad week or have a bad incident, but listen, as a bar owner, what you want public safety too. You want your guests to feel safe. You want all of those things. So this is not, we did not have to argue over this. It was saying, hey, we're going to have better safe public safety outcomes for you if we just have the entire piece of property and your parking lot all inside the city. So they agreed to that voluntarily, said, hey, thank you for reaching out. And we were able to make that happen. So, it took a few months, of course, to get that going. So I know there's been some local media reports up there lately. That was not a knee jerk reaction to that. We've been working on this for several months, but we've gotten that figured out. And I think the neighborhood's better off for it. The business is better off for it. And the community's better off for it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a pretty elegant solution to a problem I didn't even know existed, which is, who's responsible, who enforces, where's the jurisdictional lines? And, I mean, look, we have, agreements between the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and PPD where they can interact. It's not right. That big of an issue, but it does simplify things in terms of who's responsible. You give me an idea that I know is completely absurd, but when I say it, you're going to laugh because it almost does make sense, and I think people will laugh as well. Have you ever considered the possibility of a bright blue and teal, colors of the city, line that goes all around the city limits so we can actually tell where's Escambia County and where's the city of Pensacola?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know how if we can afford that much paint with all of the jigsaw puzzle.
Hey,
that
ECUA
is,
has surplus
line.
Paint all the time. Why not? Anyway, go ahead. You're saying.
I will say, Andrew, that is one of my favorite explanation, non-explanations I have as mayor when someone says, why are the city limit lines like that? And I said, heck, great question. I don't know. I don't know how we decided up and down these blocks. And all I know is that part of the west side of town, the ones that cut through 45-degree angles through city blocks, I believe Andrew Jackson put in 1821. So, there's not a lot of method to our madness as it pertains to what our city limit lines are. I know that for sure.
I was thinking to myself about on the parking lot, you could have a line and on one side it says
right.
Call sheriff's department. On the other side it says call PPD. look
yeah,
for the black versus the green, garbage bins or, whatever.
There you go.
Long time coming, still not quite over the finish line, but July, 14th, you're going to have recycling. First approval happened on Thursday. Next approval will happen at the next city council meeting. Is that right?
That's right. So we're shooting right now for July 14th to be the first week where you will have recycling.
It's Bastille Day.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly why we planned it, Andrew.
Celebrating our French heritage, see?
Exactly. So we're that would be when you could first get service. So if you work backwards from that, again, you'll get inundated with mail and social media and all of that in the month of June, and you'll be able to opt in. So that means your can will show up sooner than that. I can't tell you exactly what day, depending on when you opt in and what neighborhood you're in. But
sure.
But the goal is that the first week of service for opt-in recycling will be July 14th. So again, this will probably be your last week of reprieve before we are inundating you with all of the recycling information. But again, we wanted the council to at least have an opinion on the pricing structure and all that before we went out and sent a bunch of mail. So
very soon we will be repatriating all of those bins from underneath I-110 from the temporary ICE detention center that they are suffering in right now, and it can eventually go back into use in the neighborhoods. I'm looking
That's
forward
right.
to that. Now we'll save it for next time. Well, no, there was a big argument, at least from Charles Baer, that in response to this, $15 million lawsuit settlement that you're going to pay to all the ratepayers in the past with the, you know, Pensacola Energy. And he says, well, I will definitely not vote for a rate increase to offset the cost. We're just going to have to make it up some other way. He does not speak for the administration and the whole council on this, right?
Of course not. And also, you know, you have to understand Pensacola Energy at the end of the day is owned by the citizens. So meaning this is not a private company that is going, yes, there's separate decisions, but this is something that is owned and operated by the city of Pensacola, therefore by the taxpayer. There are certain rules around how much you have to have in reserves. I mean, there are things that are outside. This is not just a flippant decision that if we were to have to raise rates, that we would just do it for the sake of doing it. There are legalities. When you own a utility, there are lots of legalities about what you have to do and what you're supposed to do. And remember, reserves, there's reason reserves are in place.
Right.
What if there's an emergency? What if there's a COVID or hurricane? I mean, there's a reason that protects the taxpayer that the reserves are sufficient. So, you know, there's lots of different things that certainly weren't understood when those comments were being made that we would have to focus on. But, you know, we want to get this lawsuit behind us and then we'll get back to what we decide we need to do. We are always going to be able to protect the taxpayer dollar, especially inside the city limits, and we'll do the best we can to accomplish that.
Well, look forward to that conversation certainly in the future. All right, the lightning round, we always end with Mayor D.C. Reeves. A couple of quick lightning round questions. At what level of emptiness do you fill your gas tank? Weekly, at empty, when the light's on, a quarter, a half, when it's cheap, what do you do?
I heard this briefly in the car yesterday. I was hoping you were going to ask me this. I can't remember the last time I filled up my gas tank when the light wasn't on.
Nice.
You know,
run until it's dry,
I mean,
baby.
call me a procrastinator. I don't know, something. But I'm trying. It is a rare. I think it's only on the interstate if I'm already hungry or somebody's got to go to the bathroom anyway, and you might as well fill up at like a quarter. But other than that, city driving, man, I'm not stopping until that light's on.
I like it. That's maximizing your efficiency of not wasting extra time and too many over the course of your life. Phillips, I like it. Do you use Facebook Marketplace to sell things, Craigslist to sell things, eBay? Don't participate in the secondhand economy?
You know what? This is a funny question now that I'm mayor. I used to more often. It's a little difficult now.
I see.
Because when you inquire about, you know, buying a Peloton bike, it turns into like a long conversation, you know, a big long Facebook message back and forth about city issues. So it's a little, you know, I have Sydney step in and do our buying for us on Facebook Marketplace on the sparing time we need to.
Okay. So she does Facebook Marketplace at least. Okay. All right. Very good. And last question, kind of an easy one. What goes on popcorn?
Butter and salt. If you could have one of those movie theater machines at your house that makes the butter that's really bad for you, then that would be even better. But
no, not bad for you. Joyful to your belly.
I see.
Fair enough.
None of those other sprinkles, none of that ranch stuff, none of that.
No foo-foo add-ons. I gotcha. All right.
Exactly.
Very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time. We will talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.